In the name of the one living God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Mary said, "Tell out, my soul, the greatness of the Lord. Rejoice, rejoice, my spirit, in God my Savior. So tenderly has he looked upon his servant, humble as she is. For from this day forth all generations will count me blessed. So wonderfully has he dealt with me, the Lord, the Mighty One." Luke 1, 46 to 49 from the New English Translation. When I was about 12 or 13 years of age, my cousin, a U.S. sailor stationed in Italy near the end of the Second World War, presented me with my first rosary. It was made of little black beads, and it had a tin crucifix, and it had been blessed by Pope Pius XII. I carried that rosary for a number of years until it finally fell apart. And some years later, Shirley and I were instrumental in starting a cell, that is a small group of the Society of Mary at Christ Church in Pottstown. And at that time, I purchased the new rosary and had it blessed by the rector at Christ Church at the time. Our group of about 6 to 8 men and women met regularly to pray the rosary and to receive Eucharist. When I made my first retreat at Malvern 33 years ago, I assisted in praying the Living Rosary, which was totally new to me. And that was a tradition after the evening meal on Saturday night. It was very large, made of rope, with swimming pool floats for the different beads. It took 60 men to hold it and pray it. But when we finished that evening, my Catholic neighbor, who lived two doors below me on Charlotte Street, came up to me and quizzically said, "Where did you learn to play the rosary?" And I said, "At my mother's knee." You see, my mother, whose name just happened to be Mary, was raised in the Methodist Church, but after she and my dad were married, she became an avid Anglo-Catholic. And after receiving my first rosary in 1946, she taught me what it meant and how to pray it. So my devotion to our Lord's Mother has been an integral part of my life. But who is this Mary that we honor today? We know from Matthew and Luke that she was the mother of Jesus. But she was as special as we shall see. Some years ago, there was a teenage boy who got the flu bug in school. And the school nurse called his mother to let her know that her son was sick and that he should be taken home. Well, as they were leaving the nurse's office, the bell rang for the changing of classes. Now, what teenage boy wants to be seen walking out of school alongside of his mother? So he said to her, "Would you please walk a few steps in front of me?" And she did. And she said nothing as they left the building. And when they got home, the lad went to bed and took care of himself, got the rest that he needed. Well, his dad came home from work, and he could hear them talking about the day and about his illness. And a few minutes later, his dad came up to his room to see how he was feeling. They talked a few minutes, and then his dad said something to him that he would never forget. He said, "Don't ever be ashamed to be seen with your mother. Don't ever be ashamed to be seen with your mother." I would submit to you that none of us should ever be ashamed to be seen with our spiritual mother. in the family of God. Jesus, the Son of God, became man through the Virgin Mary. In the second century, around 135 AD, the church father Justin Martyr preached that Christ became man by the Virgin Mary in order that the disobedience produced from the serpent who tempted Eve might receive its destruction in the same manner it derived its origin. The early church fathers and the gospel writers studied how they could interpret the Hebrew scriptures, the Old Testament, in the light of Christ. That is, how a divine analogy of the New Testament could be formed out of the Old. For example, Adam, made in the image of God, was a type of the one who is to come. And the one who is to come is Jesus in the image of God. Adam was formed of the earth as the first created son of God. Jesus was begotten, not created, as God's only son. In his letter to the Romans, St. Paul relates how Adam was the king of salvation, but Jesus was the king of kings. Adam was created sinless, but was led astray where Jesus was sinless, even though he was tempted, but never succumbed to those temptations. Eve was a virgin who received the word of the serpent and brought forth disobedience and death, whereas Mary received faith and joy when the angel Gabriel announced God's tidings to her. The holy thing begotten of her is the Son of God. And she replied, "Let it be done to me according to your word," God's word. By Mary, he has been born, who has been described in the Hebrew scriptures, and through whom God destroys the serpent and all the fallen angels. The knot of Eve's disobedience has been untied by the obedience of the Virgin Mary. The knot tied by the Virgin Eve in her unbelief has been untied by the belief of the Virgin Mary. Christ was prefigured in the Hebrew scriptures, and we see how the Hebrew scriptures are fulfilled by Christ in the New Testament. And when you get a chance, read Genesis chapters 1 and 2 right alongside of John's Gospel, chapters 1 and 2. God calls Eve woman in Genesis, thus consecrating the marriage of Adam and Eve. At the wedding of Cana in Galilee, John has Jesus say to his mother, "Woman, what have you to do with me?" It's not a put down. It implies neutrality. There in John, a mystical marriage, and Jesus provides wine from water. The new Eve is present at the first sign of Jesus' Godhead. At his death and resurrection, who was with Jesus but Mary? He says to her from the cross, "Woman, behold your son." And then turns to John and says to him, "Behold your mother." John is a symbol, I submit, of each and every one of us. We are the beloved disciples, and we are to stand by Mary and take her into our homes, just as John took the Virgin Mary into his home. We need a spiritual mother. We can't exist without a spiritual mother, and we should not be ashamed of the gift Jesus gave us, all of us. Matthew in chapter 1, verses 22 and 23 quotes Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. And what Isaiah is professing in his writing is that the king Ahaz has ignored the covenant of God and refuses to ask God for a sign that Israel shall be saved from its enemies. And through Isaiah, God gives a sign that a woman, a young maiden, a virgin, in Hebrew, Alma, it depends on how you translate it, will conceive a child, a royal son, heir to the throne of Israel. And in this, he is referring to the king, to the birth of King Hezekiah, who would lead Israel back to God and to the covenant. Matthew understood this reference from Isaiah to be a precursor to the annunciation of the visit to Mary, to bear God's son as God's queen and thus queen mother. In the book of Revelation, the last book that was written that we have in our scriptures, John, the same John who wrote the gospel, exalts her to a place at the right hand of the Son as an advocate. In Revelation 12, she wears a crown as queen with 12 stars in the crown representing her as the queen of heaven. You cannot have Jesus as king if you will not have Mary as queen. This is the gospel of the new covenant. Revelation 12 goes on to depict the woman clothed with the sun, the moon under her feet, and crowned with 12 stars. Everyone who reads John knows that that signifies the Virgin Mary. And John saw the Mother of God in eternal happiness, travailing in a mysterious childbirth. What birth was it? Surely it was the birth of each and every one of us who are still in exile, who are yet to be taken to God in eternal happiness. She is laboring and birthing each and every one of us. The more we make of Mary, the more we make of Christ's redemptive work. He is the one who made her to be everything that I believe her to be. Mary is the masterpiece of Christ. Today we celebrate our mother and celebrate the work of her Son, our Savior. If you would have created your mother, how would you have done it? If you could create your mother without corruption and the taint of original sin, would you have done it? Of course you would. But you couldn't. So you didn't. But Jesus could. And Jesus did. The closing prayer of the Rosary is entitled Hail Holy Queen, or in Latin, Salve Regina. And it goes like this. Hail Holy Queen, Mother of Mercy, our life, our sweetness, our hope. To thee do we cry, poor banished children of Eve. To thee do we lift up our sighs, mourning and weeping in this vale of tears. Turn then, most gracious advocate, thine eyes of mercy toward us. Show unto us the blessed fruit of thy womb, Jesus. O clement, O loving, O sweet Virgin Mary. Pray for us, O Holy Mother of God, that we may be made worthy of the promises of Christ. She is my spiritual mother, and I hope she's yours. And we should not be ashamed to admit it.